But those of us who have children, and I include myself in this group, might find it strange, shocking, or perhaps maybe slightly insulting for someone to argue that the decision to bring children into the world is selfish and morally wrong. Neither would I suspect that people with children or not would find attractive the notion that it's ethically desirable for all of us that are alive today to work towards our own extinction. However, these are the arguments that have been put forward by Professor David Benatar. He's an academic at the University of Cape Town, and he's written a book called Better to Have Never Been, The Harm of Coming into Existence. Well, last night in University College Cork, Dr. Tom Moore, he's a biochemist, he gave a public lecture assessing the book and Professor Benatar's views in general, and that public lecture was called Debating Benatar: Should the Human Species Pursue Its Own Extinction? So hopefully if Dr. Tom Moore from UCC on the line. Hi, Tom. So, yes, these views are kind of, well, let's just say, I suppose, controversial views.
I guess that's a fair description. You know, it's certainly a pretty ambitious proposal, shall we say. But I think if you read the book, you will see that it's a very well-argued, indeed beautifully written book. And the ideas there, I think, have some substance to them, even though they're quite counterintuitive. But, you know, we've had counterintuitive in the past. We thought the Earth was flat once upon a time. So,
sure.
You know, the fact that they're extraordinary views doesn't necessarily mean that they should be dismissed. The other aspect is that, you know, as an exercise in philosophy, and I'm not a philosopher myself, but I think even the general reader can appreciate there is a strong logic to the core arguments that he proposes, and therefore then his conclusions follow from that core argument.
Okay. Right. Okay. So how did you come across this guy? Why do you think he was worth a public lecture then?
I was in the unusual position, I guess, of talking about somebody else's work and possibly misrepresenting it to some extent rather than my own. But I felt as an evolutionary biologist and somebody who works in reproductive biology, I literally just picked the book off a shelf about a year ago, and you know, the proposal that we should stop reproducing struck me as something I should investigate as a reproductive biologist. And you know, initially skeptically, I started reading the book, but I became convinced. I mean, I'm not, as I said, a professional philosopher, but I do think there's a core argument there, and you know, that it was worth bringing to public attention. And you know, people can obviously make up their own minds about it.
Okay, just to summarise for people, you can summarise it better than me. But he's saying that really it's immoral to bring children into the world because I read a little bit of the book myself because this suggests that you're going to create some new suffering. Because although obviously there's good things in life, there's bad things in life too.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's in a nutshell. Now you might say, well, and the few rebuttals or attempted rebuttals I've seen of his argument, you know, online, essentially are around the idea that, you know, the pleasure compensates for the pain in life. But in fact, I think he deals with that issue, and his argument essentially is that if you're born or if you're brought into existence, you know, you will have pain and pleasure, and there will be a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not brought into existence, you will not suffer, number one, so you get rid of the suffering. But you do not actually miss the pleasures or the potential pleasures, because a person who doesn't exist can't be deprived of pleasure. So it's quite a subtle argument, and it's not, you know, it's one you have to think about. But you know, having thought about it, I actually think that there's some, you know, substance.
I suppose the thing that struck me was, even though, okay, in a philosophical sense, it's definitely interesting, but for people, real people out there, they're certainly not going to, I would imagine, take this on board and stop having children because a philosopher says they should.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's, you know, I think on probably page one of the introduction, he makes this point himself, you know. But, I mean, there are many strange and wonderful things we do in philosophy and science that have no immediate or practical utility. I think even a small amount of pain, if you like, justifies his argument, because you know, if you don't exist, you don't miss the pleasure.
Mm,
therefore, you know, even if you get rid of a little bit of pain, like if you're born and you stub your toe and that's the only grief you ever have in your lifetime, in principle, that justifies his argument.
I think people might be, sorry to cut across you, but they might be very curious about a man with such views because they're so...
This was raised last night, and, you know, I think, I guess my general response to that is that he's clearly a high quality established moral philosopher. He's the head of the Department of Philosophy in Cape Town University, and I think it's slightly insulting to question, you know, his personal credentials, if you like. You know, is he depressed? You know, does he have any children himself? Because, you know, he's a professional philosopher. He's got a beautifully written argument. You know, let's stick to the argument, I think, should be the response to that.
Oh yeah, it's very well written, but you would, you know, if he thinks that life is full of such pain, you know, he's still obviously living himself.
Yes,
still...
well, again, you know, there's He is very explicit about his argument that it's not an argument for the discontinuation of lives that have already begun.
So he's not advocating suicide.
Not suicide, not murder or homicide or any other, you know, absolutely not. And there's a whole other set of moral principles that come into play, and psychology obviously comes
into play. Just to clarify that one, so what he's saying is, okay, it's probably slightly regrettable that we're all born because, you know, we would have been better off not existing because we wouldn't have to suffer. But now that we're here, does he argue then you might as well make the best of it? Is that his...
Oh, absolutely. I think the best of it is precisely what you should try and make of it. You know, he also points to the fact that if by some magic his protocol was implemented, that it would in itself lead to suffering, because, as you know, humans, unless I guess human extinction happened instantaneously, then as the program evolved, you know, there would be obviously extensive suffering. So that's a sort of a problem for the practical aspect of his argument.
What was your own reaction reading the book? Because I read not all of it now, but I read good sections of it, and it was well written. Yeah. But it's a very bleak view, really, in many ways, of human existence.
I mean, you cannot, and this is why I struggle to come up with the positive aspects to it, you know.
Yeah.
We're Darwinian entities, you know. We've evolved optimism, and we've a particular psychology that means we get out there every morning, get out of bed and do battle and reproduce.
The exact opposite to what he's talking about.
But, you know, time and again we have found it. You know, as we progress, we step away from our impulses, we control them, we may even work against them. So, I mean, lots of people don't reproduce already, you know, contraception, you know, abortion, or just, you know, abstention, whatever. So already we are denying our Darwinian instincts, you know, or at least a certain number of us are. You know, so it's not unusual to, and I mean, for example, Richard Dawkins has argued that, you know, our brains are now big enough and we can reflect on our circumstances sufficiently intelligently that, you know, we can actually, cheat or subvert our selfish genes, you know, the programs that we evolved to sort of pursue. And I don't actually... You know, I'm not skeptical about his view that, you know, for an awful lot of people, life obviously is quite hard, and, you know, they may still want to live, but I think that arises from the psychological aspect of our, you know, our that's produced by our brain, but... It is nevertheless, I mean, absolutely, it's a bleak argument. I think he's very realistic about how strange this argument is going to sound to people.
Well, maybe, I suppose he's brave in that he articulated, because people are going to react. How did your audience react
Very calmly, actually. Quite a polite and kind of interested discussion afterwards, so there wasn't any... major anxieties in evidence.
What kind of questions did you get?
Very much people probing and trying to be cleverer than David Benatar, I guess, and break down his asymmetry. And I mean, obviously, he would be the man to defend it more than myself. There is actually a clip of him on YouTube, an interview he did.
Give us that, because people would be curious.
Well, no, I don't have the address, but if you just search his name under YouTube,
Benatar, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You will find out. And he's, you know, he sounds like a very reasonable, intelligent, and could, dare I say, happy chap.
Right.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah.
I,
yeah.
You know, I think it's a beautiful intellectual exercise. You know,
yes.
let's just stick to that maybe, and then it's something which may make people think a little bit. And you know, but if you have an idea, and I think he's had a very clever idea, you have to work out the potential implications for that, rather than just walk away from it.
And the Darwinian thing, you were talking about there, that's obviously this drive we have, not just to live for as long as possible, but to pass on our genes.
Well, in fact, I think we're probably the only species who actively thinks about reproduction. I mean, other species think about sex and mating, you know, so they don't mate in order to have offspring, you know, psychologically, if you like.
Yeah.
The two components of Darwinian fitness are viability, you know, surviving as an embryo and inheriting good genes and becoming a successful reproductive entity, and then actually reproducing, fecundity. So I think those are the two aspects to our genetics.
And maybe we just finish. I just ask you, he had an interesting take on this whole, or you did, sorry, on this whole alien life thing.
This was just a bit of nonsense.
Yeah, a bit of fun.
Nonsense that I added on myself I think it's, you could argue, for example, he says that all sentient beings should be, susceptible to his argument. And
sentient being, thinking beings.
Yes, yeah. You know, that have a capacity to suffer consciously, I guess. So I wondered what, you know, highly evolved aliens with, you know, with very Mr. Spock type, logic and a high moral sense, what they would do, whether they would, become extinct voluntarily, or whether they would actually, you know, forego that pleasure and decide that they had a responsibility to help other races to become extinct, and maybe, you know, gallop around the galaxy with a Death Star and sterilize planets as they go.
Right, they'd feel it's their duty to wipe out life.
Yeah, well, I think that might be a logical implication from his argument. So I think we need to beware friendly and highly moral aliens would be my view.
Right. Well, congratulations for picking a very interesting topic, and the series you have down there of lectures in UCC is very, very interesting. And
ongoing, in fact, so every Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, okay. And is there a website for those lectures?
Yes, you will find that on the, if you go onto the CEP Science Engineering and Food Science website on the UCC homepage, okay. They'll find a link.
Are they videoed, you know, for people in
the room? They are indeed videoed, and the videos, and so my talk plus the overhead, the slides that I put up, they will all be put
online.
Online
as well. Exactly, okay. Yeah. All right, that's brilliant. Thanks very much, Tom, for coming on. Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye.
Okay. Now, that was all very interesting philosophical argument there about somebody advocating that we shouldn't have children, that it's immoral and selfish, and that we should be working towards our own extinction. And the basis for this being that even a small amount of suffering, in a philosophical sense, according to this chap David Benatar, who's a South African, in his book Better Never to Have Been, even a small amount of suffering is not worth the opposite, say, a lot, even if you have a very good life, if you have a small amount of suffering, it's still not worth it, in his viewpoint. Okay, and that was the lecture series running in UCC, which is available online.